Heavenly Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear your word. I pray that you would open us to your spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first century, the people of Israel stayed at an arm's length in their relationships with non-Jews. Gentiles were unclean, and eating with them and coming into contact with them would make a Jewish person unclean, unfit for worship, unfit for the identity of one of God's chosen people. An invisible line existed in their minds, a line they did not cross in those relationships with non-Jews. And then Paul crossed that line. Have you done that in relationships in your life? Crossed an uncrossable line, a line not to be crossed? Stepped right outside the boundaries that have been constructed around your life? Have you done that? Was it scary? Was it exciting? Did you feel daring? What drove you to cross the uncrossable line? Or are you someone who doesn't cross lines? No, sir. No, you stay in your lane. And if staying in your lane, you're accused of prejudice or narrow-mindedness, you'll take that as long as you can keep things as they are. Things don't stay as they are. As scary as it may seem, when we make that decision to follow Jesus, we will be called to cross lines we never thought we'd cross, to be in close relationships with people we always thought of as other, them, those people. We'll be drawn close to them in Jesus. Paul was a zealous Pharisee, an expert in Jewish law. He was granted authority by the leaders of the temple to go out and find Jews who wanted to worship Jesus and follow Jesus. And he was granted authority to arrest them and bring them into custody for the crime of following Jesus. So he set out to do just that on the road to Damascus, where he would find Christians and bring them before the authorities. And as he walked to that city, the risen Lord Jesus met him on the Damascus road in a blinding flash of light. After that encounter, everything changed for Paul. He left the Pharisee class. He had worked his entire life to be the best of Pharisees, the best of legal experts, and he left that life behind. He stopped chasing the Jews who worshiped Jesus. He became one, the loudest voice who would proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Because of Jesus, he began spending time with the other, the Gentiles. He ate their food, slept in their homes. Because of Jesus, he no longer felt spiritually superior. In fact, his work with Gentiles was groundbreaking. Paul showed that people of different ethnic groups who previously hated each other could become a family united in Christ. As he did with Paul, Jesus calls us to become line crossers. In Galatians 3:26, Paul says, "In Christ Jesus, you are children of God. As children of God," Paul writes in the next verse, "we have clothed ourselves with Christ." And finally, in verse 28, "we are one in Christ." Children of God, clothed with Christ, united together, one in Christ. Each one of us is to step out and cross a line in order to befriend someone different than us. In doing this, we celebrate unity in Christ. In our relationships with people from different backgrounds, we see more of Him. One of my favorite memories of this kind of experience happened when I was a pastor in Northern Virginia. There was a church where all the members were people from Ghana who, for different reasons, had relocated to be living in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area. So it was a Baptist church, a Ghanaian Baptist church. They were going to ordain one of their members into ministry. So they sent out a call throughout the association and the North Star Network. The Baptist Association in that area is pretty large. There are a lot of churches. They invited all the pastors to come and be part of this ordination service, and I was the only one who showed up. Well, they were excited that I was there. They hadn't planned on me coming, but they sat me down right next to the person being ordained. I didn't expect that. I thought I'd be somewhere in the back, but they put me right in the front row. They said, and now Pastor Rob Tennant is going to lead our ordination prayer. Well, God gave me the words to say because I hadn't prepared anything, but it was a tremendous honor. And throughout that day of celebration, my concept of what it means to be one in Christ was enlarged. I got to be part of something special in ordination, and all I did was show up. Sometimes God works through us and works in us if we're willing to show up and love people in Jesus' name. A question that has guided my journey as a Christ follower and my journey into spaces where people come from different backgrounds than me, a question that has guided me and one that I hope you'll take seriously is, do I have any friends that come from another race or another country or are in some way markedly different than me? I assume you know people that are different. You'd have to live in a cave not to. Is there someone significant in your life that comes from a different worldview or a different background? I hope everyone will say yes to this. How can we even know what it means to be one in Christ if we're all the same? Who are the significant others in your life right now that come from a different worldview or a different world perspective than yours? I want to offer six suggestions for line crossing. Crossing the line from where you are to where someone else is, to build friendships, share good news about salvation in Jesus Christ, and experience the unity that He wants us to have. Suggestion number one, pray. This is the first suggestion in any and every work we do in the name of Christ. We must begin here. Ask the Holy Spirit to expand your capacity to love people and see the beauty of God in people. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as you seek to reach out in Jesus' name. Ask the Lord to show you where you need to be reaching out, who you need to reach out to, and how you should go about doing it. Start with prayer. Second suggestion, begin with people who are already in your life that you don't know that well. Maybe the clerk that you see when you buy your coffee, or the coach of your kid's baseball team, or a neighbor, someone you've seen walking their dog day after day and never really talked to, a coworker. To understand how diverse and creative God is, invest time in the lives of people who are on the periphery of your life right now. Think of people you see every week but haven't gotten to know. For me, an example of this was a guy named James. This was someone we were serving in my last church. He had come on difficult times economically, and his health was really bad. And he would call the church when he was hungry and needed food, and so I would show up at his apartment with a sack of groceries. And usually the exchange, get buzzed into the apartment complex, say it's Pastor Rob from Greenbrier Baptist Church, hand over the sack of groceries and leave. And it dawned on me, I was giving a needy guy food, but there was no relationship. So the next time I went, I asked if I could come in and talk to him a bit. Well, he's a pretty lonely guy. His only real contact with the world outside his apartment were people that came to help him or healthcare workers. So he welcomed me in. We didn't have much in common. So the conversation at the beginning was slow and painful, but I was determined to stay with this. We talked about the weather. We talked about what it's like to live in the D.C. area, the traffic. Then we talked about the weather some more. Finally, we got past that, past the TV shows that he watched all day. I got to understand that he loved country music, Kenny Rogers, Johnny Cash. And then we talked about Jesus. He was somebody I already knew. God opened a door and pushed me through it. So begin with prayer, start with people you already know, and then go on to unfamiliar turf. Go to places where maybe you're the minority, whether it's a minority in terms of social categories or a racial or ethnic minority, but go to a place where the people are different than you. It could be on a mission trip. It could be visiting different churches. Find spaces where the culture is different than yours and spend time there. Be curious about that culture, and if you do that, they're going to want to welcome you. Let them love you by sharing themselves with you. I was at a birthday party. Most of the guests there beside my family were Mexicans, and it was time to eat. He said, "Rob, it's time to put food on your plate." I said, "Well, I don't want to be the first in line," and the host said, "Rob, Mexicans don't form lines." It was great, and Rose is laughing because she's the one who said that to me. But it was a wonderful time, and I felt so grateful and loved to be there and be part of it. In the spirit of unity in Christ, be among people different than you, where you're the minority. Love them and meet them in that space, and meet God in that space. Our sense of who God is expands when we see how big and beautiful the world is. So that's the third suggestion. Go on to unfamiliar turf. The fourth, this is just as important as the third one is. Be yourself. Don't go into these encounters with masks on. Be who God created you to be. You are made in the image of God. However you feel about yourself, when God sees you, God is full of love. God took great care in creating you. You're made in the image of God. Just as you are experiencing God's love and beauty in the other person, that other person is seeing a greater picture of God as they encounter the Spirit in you. Pray. Follow the Lord's lead and have confidence that God has a purpose for you meeting this person. The goal is to share the love of Jesus and be one in Christ. Fifth suggestion, find common ground. I'll share another memory. This is shortly after Candy and I were married. It was her birthday, and I was going to surprise her by bringing some friends together for dinner. So I invited her former pastor, because I was her new pastor as her husband, but her former pastor and his wife, and then one of her good friends from work and her husband. So the three couples we met at the restaurant. Well, the couple from work, they're from India and have no religious practice, really. We had spent a lot of time with them, and it was clear we were good friends, but not really going to talk about Christianity much. And then this pastor comes, and he's a pretty hardcore evangelical guy. And I thought, once I got past my euphoria of successfully pulling off a party for Candy, I thought, how are these people going to get along? What are we going to talk about? Well, this pastor friend had mastered the art of connecting with people. He and the guy from India started talking about coffee. And their highbrow love of coffee, and they spent the whole meal discussing coffee and had a great time doing it. They literally found common grounds. Somebody groan. Come on. We can be ourselves and find things in common with people from different cultures. So I want to review these suggestions that I've given you so far for stepping across the line, entering into a friendship with someone so you can love that other person and see beauty in them and have that opportunity to talk about Jesus. So first, pray. Start in prayer. Begin in places you already go, familiar places with people you already see. Third, step onto unfamiliar turf. Fourth, be yourself. Fifth, find common ground. The last suggestion is be alert for opportunities to include Jesus in the conversation. Jesus was not a generic human. There's no such thing. He was a first century Jewish man from Galilee. He came from the peasant class, but he was also God in human flesh. He died for the sins of all people of all time and places. He loves all people. He loves you. He loves this new friend that you're getting to know. And you and your friend have something in common. Both of you have longings inside you that only Jesus can satisfy. The entire exercise of friendship comes together in Christ. He is where we meet and become one. The mission of Hillsong Church is to follow Jesus, love others, and share hope. When you've extended yourself in friendship, discovered common ground, and established mutual trust, you've become a line crosser. We cannot make our friends receive Jesus, and we shouldn't try. Conviction of the heart is God's job. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Our job is to offer love, grace, peace, and hope to the people we meet. If our friends don't ever turn to faith in Jesus, we don't abandon them. We keep praying, caring, and developing the friendship. Salvation is not our responsibility. Loving in the name of Christ is. Paul made the statement that in Christ there's no Jew or Greek, there are no ethnic divisions when we come together in the name of Jesus. Paul lived this. When he was in the city of Athens, he talked to the philosophers and spoke on their terms. He didn't talk about Jewish history, he talked about philosophy. When he was in Jerusalem, he spoke of how God had led him out of life as a Pharisee and into life as a Jesus follower, and he talked about evangelizing, sharing the good news with the Gentiles. When he wrote a letter to the church at Rome, where there was a lot of conflict among the Christians, and we know about conflict among Christians. They argued between the Jewish Christians and the non-Jewish Christians. Paul wrote extensively about how Jesus saves both Jews and Gentiles. We talked about crossing a line. After Jesus appeared to Paul, Paul spent the rest of his life crossing lines, stepping over ethnic divisions, racial boundaries that drive people apart. He stepped over those gaps for the sake of bringing people together in the name of Jesus. We continue that way of living. We are to be on the lookout for ways we can share Jesus with people. One of the places we all come together is at the communion table. Forgiven, and we do need to receive forgiveness. Yes, we confess our sins, but then we acknowledge Jesus has died on the cross for us. Our forgiveness is accomplished. So forgiven, we know that the broken bed represents Jesus' broken body, broken for us. He took our punishment on himself, and it's now our time to ask the Lord what he wants us to do and how to do it. What lines will you cross in order to befriend someone and share the love of Jesus? In Christ, the divisions that come between people are to be eliminated. This week, as you go into the week, heading into the week in Jesus' name, what divide will you bridge in order to give witness to Jesus and the love he's put in your heart, love that you want to share? As we gather to take the bread and cup, ask God to reveal to you the lines to be crossed and ask him to give you the courage to cross them. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a time of response where there's singing, and if you want someone to pray with you, I'll be at the front. We'll have someone at the back, and then I'll lead us into the time of communion. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, draw us to yourself, give us the courage to cross lines in friendship.